This morning I ask you to think with me as we consider how much do you trust in God? How much do you trust in God? How great is your trust in God? In Psalm 84 and 12, the writer writes these words, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Trust and confidence are synonyms. And we know that God can be trusted. Sometimes we think that because we know that God can be trusted, that we have trusted in him. But there's a vast difference in having in your heart and in your mind confidence that God can be trusted, and then to so completely and without reservation trust in God so that you can find the peace that passeth all understandings. And in the midst of all that's happening around you and in you and about you, that you're not worried to the point of letting it disturb your life so greatly that you cannot continue. Paul, writing about his personal salvation in God and about his life service to God, wrote these words, For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. And that's a very strong word because it means to be persuaded over and again, which has in it the thought of thinking things through completely and thoroughly, and you have reached a conclusion that's going to last you for a lifetime. That I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What day does Paul mean? Well, I think he means the next day. What day do I think Paul means? I think he means this day. What day do I think Paul means? The first day of next week, or the first day of next month, or the last day of last year, or the day when Jesus comes, or the day when he stands before God. He believes and trusts God to the point that he's been persuaded beyond any doubt, beyond any persuasion that others might have, and by any catastrophic event in his life, that God can be trusted. And we will never know true peace and contentment until we trust, quote, in him. Not simply believing with our minds that he can be trusted, but actually believing in him so vividly and so greatly that we find peace and contentment. This morning, as we think of God, we must consider him in the attributes that the Bible have revealed to us. And when we think of the attributes of God, it's that state, the nature and character of himself that reveals to us such things as his love, such things as his wisdom, such things as his providence. These are called the attributes of God. And they are so many, we could never categorize them to their fullest. But they help us to understand God when we can look at some of his attributes. What do we mean when we state trusting in? Well, it's more than trusting. We may believe Christ, but it's a different thing to trust in Christ. We may believe in God, but it's not trusting in God. We may trust in God's love, and that way we can comprehend the fullness of the joys. We may trust a boat to be sufficient for our needs, but when a great storm arises and we begin to fill with fear and doubt, then we understand that though we trusted it in the common events and circumstances of our fishing or whatever, that trust changed to doubt. Just as Peter, when he was with Jesus and the disciples in the boat, I know they trusted Jesus and they trusted in Jesus, but then their trust was put to a test and Peter failed. I understand that sometimes that may be difficult for us to comprehend. But in the scriptures we learn that faith is quantitative, because Jesus rebuked the disciples for having little faith. And of the Syrophoenician woman who came to him and pleaded with him for her daughter, he said he had not seen so great faith. I think one of the theological light bulbs that came on in my mind was that when Jesus speaks of faith as a grain of mustard or a mustard seed, that faith is so powerful and so strong that even the minutest size of faith can do great things. Jesus said they could move mountains. And I think trust can also be categorized as little trust or great trust. And so this morning I claim for our attention these attributes of God. I think, first of all, the attribute of God's love. Are we trusting in His love, or do we simply trust His love? I hope you can see that I've tried in my introduction to make a difference. Oh, I know God loves me. I don't know when I came to that knowledge first. Probably at a very early age, from my mother, my dad, my Sunday school teacher, and the songs we sing in church. But I do remember when I began to have some recognition of the depth and the breadth of His love. And I then began to trust in His love as deeply as we humans can do. Paul writes of this in Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. In other words, to the world, God's people are no better than a sheep that's on the way to the slaughterhouse. No. Paul writes, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can trust in God's love. It is the unfailing spiritual that is mentioned in Paul's letter concerning faith, hope, and love. Paul said, It never fails. It never goes out of existence. We will love God in heaven, but we won't have faith in God, for we will have seen Him. We will love God in heaven, but there'll be nothing to hope for, because everything we hope for has come to pass. Another attribute of God that means so much to me, and that is the attribute of wisdom. In 1 Timothy 1:17, Paul wrote, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." In the world of religion, there are literally millions of dumb, D-U-M-B, gods. Gods that cannot speak, gods that cannot hear, gods that cannot offer you any wisdom because they have none. And that's why Paul wrote of Jehovah God as the only, singular, the only wise God. Can we not rest in the wisdom of God and really mean it and rely on it and trust it when we say, God knows best? Shouldn't we trust in Him who has this wisdom and is the only source of this wisdom? And then I think also of the attribute of providence. Psalm 56 and 11 reads, "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me." I hear this man saying, "God will take care of me if I live for Him." And history pleads for us to accept this statement that has been made. That is, there is historical evidence that cries out to us and calls to us to trust and rest and find peace and contentment in the providence of God. For the same writer in Psalms wrote, "Our fathers trusted in Thee. They trusted and Thou didst deliver them." This is looking back on the history of Israel. When they trusted God, God delivered them. When they trusted in chariots, they were defeated. When they trusted in idols, they were captured and carried to another land. But when they trusted in God, God delivered them. When they trusted in men, they failed. So history tells us that we can trust in Him, in this attribute of God and His providence. Trust in Him all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. And as we've studied the Psalms, and I've looked back through them this week in preparation for this message, it's one of the themes of the Psalms, man. Trust God. Trust in God. I also would remind you that trust in God and evidence that we're trusting in God may be used as a powerful witness. This is the personal witness of David in Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my heart, in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Now notice this statement. Many shall see it and fear. When our trust is in God, and people see us as we live and as we meet the challenges of life, and no matter what happens to us, we never quit trusting God for His love, for His grace, for His providence. If we can live and let our light shine before God, that God has never failed us, then that is a witness to people who know us, trusting in God. And then there's another attribute of God that means so much to us, and that is the attribute of His grace. And that is, if we have grace in our lives, if we trust in the grace of God, and that's because of His love, then we have peace. If your salvation and your mind is based on anything but the grace of God, you never know when you've done enough. You don't know when you've sinned enough that God will turn you loose and let you become lost again. You don't know when you've done enough that God says, "Now I love you." You live your life in total uncertainty, because if our salvation depends upon our works, upon our mental comprehension and understanding, we may die and go to hell in the last few minutes of our life by some silly, stupid, ungodly thing we did. I know a person who was a member of my, who was my cousin's wife, and he told me about it. Her father had an affair, and this hurt the family so deeply that they believed that he lost his salvation. He was operating a crane. It got into the high wires, electrical, and he was executed. As his daughter walked by the casket that contained his body, she said to my cousin, "My daddy is in hell for what he did." Is that what grace is? "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, and it is amazing, and the definition of grace is so sweet. Because what else can we rest in? Some so completely and so totally, without reservation, with joy and peace and contentment, to rest in God's grace, not to simply discuss it as an attribute or believe that it's a word that's found in the Bible, but to know that it is so true that it can never, ever fail. Paul said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." He doesn't claim his sacrifices. He doesn't claim his travels. He doesn't claim his authoring so many books of the Bible under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't claim his travels, his beatings, his whippings, his perils that he endured and suffered. If any man could be saved by works, it would have been Paul the Apostle. But he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. When Paul laid before God his weakness, God answered him and said, my grace is sufficient for thee. I imagine that awakened Paul. He'd been looking at himself. His eyes had weakened from some eye disease until he could hardly write without making large letters. His travels in that particular age were horrendous and dangerous. And I guess Paul simply said, I don't think I could make another trip, God. I don't know whether I can get to Rome or not. And he'd promised the Roman brethren he was going to come. And you know what? God's grace, combined with God's providence, brought Paul to Rome, where he could do what he'd promised the Romans he would do. But you know, there's a lot to consider as we think about trust. Has the truth of our confession, that is, that we're trusting God, become simply a statement of hypocrisy? As God's born-again people, do we by our actions confuse lost people or immature saved people? Do we send mixed messages when we say we love God and we trust God, but our lives are filled with complaints, confusion, and seem to present no direction? Do we as a church confuse those who observe our works, who come to worship with us? Do they see us filled with doubt and confusion, doctrinal immaturity and factions? Can we as a nation confuse ourselves and other nations by what is written on our currency? It says, in God we trust. Do we honestly, truly, as a nation, trust in God? Or do we trust our own wisdom? Do we not learn from history that indeed when we have trusted God and when the very existence of our nation and in our struggle for independence, when George Washington lost 12 battles and won one, and in so doing won the war, do we not learn from history? I think we're in a crisis as a nation of people. And this awesome thought for its for the fear it strikes in my heart. And that is the polling of our nation, where 32 to 37% of the people said they approved in and had no problem with same-sex marriages. A man marrying a man, a woman marrying a woman. And you know what struck me? If that overtakes our nation someday in the future, if God doesn't return, the Lord doesn't come back, there'll be no Father's Day, because there can't be one. And there'll be no Mother's Day, because there can't be one. Let's stand and sing.